You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your servant stands before you this night, Lord. I should be on my knees like my Savior, surrendering myself to you. But I do so in a standing position. I surrender myself to you. I ask you to please look upon us with kindness as we have come to worship you. Guide the words that will be spoken, that they may fall deep within our hearts. All these things we pray in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. For about 15 years, but it's been for 10 years that I have not been there. But about 15 consecutive years, I had a very dear, sweet friend of mine. His name was Wally Furler. He was the father of the pastor you heard me speak about often. And Wally, every year, would send me tickets for a Good Friday breakfast. I would get up at 5 o'clock. I had to be in Center City, Allentown, by 6 o'clock in the morning to attend the breakfast. It was at the YMCA. 150 people would gather on a morning like this, and we would sing songs, and there would be a keynote speaker every year. I heard bishops speak on the subject of Good Friday. I heard the head football coach of Lehigh University speak. Many different pastors, political leaders, but there was this one man. When he spoke, the words still stay with me to this day. And I would like to share with you what he presented. Not what he spoke on, but the concept he spoke on. And he began by saying this: Good Friday, who's it good for? Who is it good? Why do we call it Good Friday? Well, let's take a journey and see if we can answer the question. So last night we had a powerful, moving service. And we are called to the fact that after Jesus has the Passover feast with his disciples and institutes, presents to them for the first time, the Eucharistic feast, they then go out for a time of solitude and prayer. They go up to the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives is called the Mount of Olives because it is a higher elevation. So when you would go up to the mount, you would be hundreds of feet higher, and you would be able to look out, and you would be able to see the Judean landscape. You would be able to see Jerusalem. But it was only Jesus that could peel back everything. You see, because Jesus was there and seen this before there were any cities there. He's seen it when it was the Judean countryside. Jesus, when looking out from the Mount of Olives, could look and say, and maybe share with his disciples, you see that place right there? That place right there is where Abraham took his son Isaac to sacrifice him out of the test of obedience. But God supplied the sacrifice, so Isaac did not have to be the sacrifice. Look over there. Over there is where Jacob laid his head down on the rock, and the stairway came from heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending. Only Jesus could see that. Jesus could also look at the temple and think, or again remark to his disciples, "Do you know how many thousands of sacrifices have taken place at that temple? Guilt, burnt, fellowship, grain offering." You see, because sin offering couldn't be offered at the temple. Sin offering was transferred onto the sacrifice, but the sacrifice had to be taken outside the city. Jesus, looking out from the Mount of Olives, could see all of these things. And it had to be difficult for him because he knew at this time all this scripture had to be fulfilled, and it would be fulfilled in him. He would become superior to the patriarchs and the prophets. He would represent a better sacrifice. He would become superior to the Levitical priesthood. He knew all these things. Was this day going to be a good day for Jesus? After looking from the Mount of Olives, it said in our scripture today that they went down through the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, the Garden of Gethsemane was at the foot, the base of the Mount of Olives. And Jesus went in there, as was his custom, and it was the place that he surrendered himself to Almighty God's will and purpose and the mission that he was sent on. And when he was in that garden is when the guards came with torches, with weapons, with lamps. And Judas betrayed him. This wasn't the first time that Jesus was betrayed in the garden. You see, Jesus was there when the voice called out, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" This is the second time Jesus gets betrayed in the garden. And with that, the soldiers take Jesus to Annas, the past high priest. And Annas begins to question him. And Jesus said, "I've spoken plainly." He is being charged. He's being bound. He's being put in awkward situations. Is Jesus having a good day? Is it a good Friday for him? And after he is questioned by Annas, Annas sends him bound to Caiaphas. Caiaphas is Annas' son-in-law. He is the one who spoke and said that it would be better for one man to die for the nation than for the nation to die. We can see, without looking too hard, that Jesus was not going to get a fair trial. He was not going to be able to represent, and he stayed quiet. Jesus is not having a good day. It's not a good Friday for him. He's now sent by Caiaphas and accompanied by the council to Pontius Pilate. Because the Jews couldn't put anybody to death. Even though there were no witnesses to corroborate any type of evidence, They now march Jesus bound after they had begun to place their hands on him in the garden. The one person in Annas' council, an officer, slaps Jesus. They start doing terrible things to him. We can understand it, so we can actually realize it from our own perspective. How do you confess your sins unto Jesus Christ? You speak them. You place your hands on them. You transfer your sin to Jesus. Can you not see that this is happening now? They're placing and piling, assembling the sins on Jesus. And he's now sent to Pilate. And because he was asked the question, "Are you the Son of God?" "It is as you say." Jesus could not deny himself. He had to speak the truth. And now all of a sudden, they rip their robes and they say, "This is blasphemy, and this deserves death." This is the sentence they pronounce on him. He's not having a Good Friday. And with this, he is scourged. What a terrible treatment. Scourging whips were absolutely brutal. There were more than one kind. There was a scourging whip, which is just a short handle, but it would have 7 pieces of leather thongs hanging from it. But the most gruesome one was the one that the Romans used. It had 1 or 2, possibly 3 leather thongs. And on those thongs were tied sheep bones, the sharp vertebrae of the sheep. And every other spot was put with a lead pellet. And they would whip the back of the person to be scourged. It became a bloody mess. We've heard these words before, "And by his stripes we were healed." And they beat Lord Jesus. You see, in Mosaic law, you were not allowed to hit more than 40 times. So they only hit Jesus with this 39 times. The sins of the people are being piled upon Jesus. Pilate takes them out. And the ruling council begins to chant, "Crucify him." And the crowd joins in. "Crucify him." It is the same as saying, "Sacrifice him. Sacrifice him." The sins of the people are being piled upon Jesus. Is it a Good Friday for Jesus? He is now given, it's called the plantabellum, which is the crossbar of the crucifix, to carry that to Golgotha. And that is significant because, remember, sin offering cannot be offered at the temple. It has to be offered outside the camp. Where's Golgotha? Outside the city. Jesus is not having a Good Friday. He carries that portion of this instrument of torture to Golgotha. And they nail him to the cross. If only we could hear the whip hitting him in the back every time we sin, maybe we wouldn't sin so much. If only we could hear the nails being pounded every time we sin, maybe we wouldn't sin so much. But we don't hear that. They nailed Jesus to the cross. The sins of the people placed upon him outside of the city. And as time moves forward, he says, "It is finished." And he breathes his last. It's not a Good Friday for Jesus. They take him down and they lay him in the sepulcher. Now there's an interesting piece. When you hear scripture coming forward as we move forward in this service, it will say, this has to be done for scripture to be fulfilled. This has to be done for scripture to be fulfilled. When you read the book of Moses, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 10, this is now the first time that Moses came down off the mountain with the law of the tablets. They had made a golden calf. He throws the tablets out of his hand and they shatter on the ground. When he goes up and God gives him specific instruction, make a wooden chest and cut out two more stone tablets and come up to me on the mountain. And when Moses goes up, God writes the Ten Commandments again. And he tells Moses to put them in the wooden box. You see, that was the first covenant. That was the old covenant. Maundy Thursday last night, Jesus says this is the new covenant. In the old covenant, wood and stone played a role. In the new covenant, wood, the cross, and stone, the sepulcher, will play a role. Scripture had to be fulfilled. Jesus is not having a good day. Then why do we call it Good Friday? Because it's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for us that he did all of these things. So if we look at Palm Sunday, which was the first day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday is the sixth day of the week. And on the sixth day, God finished all his work. The work of salvation. And on the seventh day, which will be tomorrow, he will rest. And then on the first day of the week, Jesus will rise anew and put into effect the new covenant that we are under. Good Friday wasn't good for Jesus. Good Friday was good for us. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best start in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light.